Well, shalom, y'all. We just want to welcome you to this week's teaching. We are so glad that you have joined us for this teaching as we are going to jump into God's Word and we're going to explore the riches of His Word. And we know that there is blessing and there is life that comes when we walk in His ways and His instructions and His commandments in which He has given us to walk in. You know, in this teaching, we are in our second teaching on Passover. You know, we are in the week of unleavened bread this week. I hope that you had a wonderful Passover this past week. And as we are in this week of unleavened bread, you know, we're taking this time to, you know, look within us to see those things in our lives that are not pleasing to our Heavenly Father. We're searching inside of us to get rid of the leaven, you know, as Israel was instructed, and we are told in His Word to get the leaven out of our homes. And so we get the leaven out. But this is all a physical thing that we do that teaches us a spiritual lesson of how we need to be getting rid of the sin that is in our life, the areas of our life where we are missing the mark. And so as we take that time to, you know, do that during this season, I wanted to bring a teaching here that I have entitled The Resurrection Power, His Resurrection Power. And that's what I want to talk about this week. I kind of alluded to it in last week's teaching. You know, we are celebrating His resurrection as well. Not only are we celebrating the fact that He died for us upon that tree, we're also celebrating the fact that He resurrected from that grave, and we're going to explore what it fully means that He has resurrected from the grave. And so I want to start this teaching off by looking at Paul's zeal to know the power of Yeshua's resurrection. So we're going to start in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. He says, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Messiah." You know, when you look at the previous verses of the things that Paul, he kind of gives a laundry list of things that he has gained. And as I read through that list of things that he has gained, I see things that he has gained in his flesh or things that he obtained in his life by means of his flesh. Means not necessarily saying the bad things of his flesh, but those things that he had obtained by his own doing, by his own power. There are things in our life that we have obtained, that we have gained by our own power, you know, by our own strength. What he's saying is those things that he has gained according to his flesh, on his strength, he counts for loss for Messiah, or he counts as loss for the thing of knowing Messiah, or we could say for gaining Messiah. And what we're going to get to here is the fact that what Paul is getting at is those things that we have gained on our own strength, we're going to count for loss for the sake of knowing Messiah and walking in his resurrection power. One of the other things that Paul talks about in the previous verses is he even goes on to say that even those who are in covenant with God, those who are in covenant with God are those who take no confidence in the flesh, or they take no confidence in those things that they have attained by their own strength. Okay, so he's getting to this point and he's alluding to the fact that our walk with Messiah and knowing Messiah goes way beyond what we obtain on our strength and through our flesh, but it's something greater. It's something we need a greater power working inside of us than our own strength. And verse 8, "Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Messiah Yeshua, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Messiah. So he is talking about the very things that he had obtained, he is now counting as rubbish. When we think about the list of Paul that he gives, he talks about how he was like the Jew of all Jews. I mean, he had attained things that very few people had obtained too. He had a lot to brag about. But he says, I count all that stuff as rubbish for the mere thing to gain Messiah. So the preeminent thing, that's what he's saying, the preeminent thing is to know Messiah. And that should be the most important thing in our lives, is to know Messiah. Not to know about him, not to read about him, but to have that personal, deep, intimate relationship with Messiah, to walk intimately with him, to walk in covenant with him. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Messiah, the righteousness which is from God by faith. So what he's saying here is, I'm not trying to obtain my own righteousness. I'm not trying to walk in righteousness on my own power apart from Messiah. It's not by my strength. It's not by the things that I have gained on my own. But it's that which I have obtained, that which I'm doing through Messiah, through him working in my life. Ultimately, that is going to be the thing that is most important in our life. Those are going to be the things which are going to be highlighted, you could say, or the rewards that we attain in the future is going to be that which we have done, that we have accomplished through Messiah, not those things that we have accomplished by our own strength. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. So the ultimate thing that Paul is looking for and obtaining and striving for is to know Yeshua and the power of his resurrection. You know, for us really to have that deep, intimate relationship with Yeshua, to be able to walk with him intimately, we have to see these things in our lives. We need to know the power of his resurrection. We need to see the power of his resurrection at work in our lives. We need to see the fellowship. We need to know and share in his sufferings, and we need to be conformed to his death. So during this Passover season, we are celebrating three things. We celebrate his death, his burial, and his resurrection. It's not just a celebration of his death. It's not just he died upon the tree for us. I have been forgiven of all my sins. So now, you know, hey, great, I'm forgiven. And we just leave it at that. But we also celebrate the fact that he was buried. He was put in that tomb and he resurrected on the third day. He is alive today. His death. So we are going to share in his death, in his burial. So we are going to put our flesh, those things that we are trying to accomplish on our own strength and our own power, we're going to put aside the former behaviors, the lust of the flesh, the desires of our flesh. That's how we share in his suffering. That's how we have fellowship in his sufferings. How we're conformed to his death is by us dying to the fleshly desires that we have, the old sinful man that we have that fights with the desire of our spirit of wanting to walk in obedience to his word. And it's through this dying to ourselves that we are able to walk in his resurrection power. His walking in the power of his resurrection and being conformed to his death go hand in hand. We have to be conformed to his death before we could ever walk in the power of his resurrection. And to know him is not just to know a doctrine. It's not just to know about his redemption, to know about a teaching on his redemption, but it's to actually know the Redeemer himself. Because when we begin to know the Redeemer himself, when we have that personal relationship with him, it's when his spirit, that is when his power, that resurrection power, can begin to operate and function inside of us. It's beyond just knowing a concept or an idea, but it's about knowing him, walking in the power and knowing the power of his resurrection. In verse 11, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. The whole idea of walking in the power of his resurrection and being conformed to his death is for the means that he may attain to the resurrection from the dead. It's the very prize that we are all fighting to obtain. So we are conformed to his death. We walk in the power of his resurrection. So we put aside the lust of our flesh, the desires of our flesh. We put that down. We kill that on a daily basis, and we walk in the power of his resurrection. That is the new man. That is walking as a new creation in him. That man who now has the power to walk in obedience to his word. So it's putting aside disobedience to walk in obedience. And we do this by the power of his resurrection, by his spirit in us. It's not by the work of our flesh, but it's by his spirit working in and through us. And so we fight to obtain the prize to be with him for eternity in his kingdom. That's the reward we get for being conformed unto his death and walking in the power of his resurrection, is that we will attain to that future resurrection we're all looking forward to, where we will be with him for eternity in his kingdom. Hallelujah. Well, I want to look at Peter's example of where he fails, where he tries to walk according to his flesh. He tries to obtain something that is righteous, you could say a good thing, by his fleshly strength. Yeshua would foretell of his betrayal or his failure in trying to obtain something on his own strength by his flesh. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 31. It says, then Yeshua said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. We see a bit of what I call the zeal of Peter. There's a little bit of zeal here going on with Peter. You know, Yeshua is saying, you all are going to stumble. You're going to leave me. You're going to kind of in a way betray me, you know, when they come to capture me. You're going to flee. But Peter's saying, no. Even though they may stumble, I am not going to stumble. I'm not going to fail. I am not going to turn my back on you. Now, you could say in this passage, in this story, that what Peter is saying is a good thing. Now, it wasn't the right timing, though, actually. Because you can ask this question. Was this zeal that Peter is showing here, is it a fleshly zeal? Or is it a spiritual zeal? Is this something that he is trying to accomplish according to his flesh? Or is this something that the Spirit has told him to do? Was he being led by the Spirit? Or is he being led by his flesh? Is he being, what I mean by led by his flesh, why would his flesh want to be willing to lay down his life for Yeshua at this moment? Well, you could say it's a matter of boasting that I'm not going to fail. I'm not going to miss the mark. And sometimes we get that way. We get a little boastful about the things that we can accomplish. And sometimes that boasting isn't according to the Spirit, but it's according to our flesh. And of course, we know that it actually wasn't the right time for Peter. See, you can have a good thing and you can desire a good thing, but if it's not at the right time, then is it a God thing? See, for it to be a God thing, it has to be a good thing at the right time. There's going to be a right time for Peter to lay down his life for Yeshua, but it's not at this moment in time. So his statement of saying that I will never be made to stumble is actually a statement of arrogance and pride and of boasting, and not a statement saying that he is dependent upon the Spirit. It's not because the Spirit of Yahweh lives in me, I will not stumble. That's not the statement that's being made here by Peter. It's not being led by the Spirit, but it's being led by his pride. So think about that with ourselves. You know, there are times that we boast about ourselves. So there are times that we make statements, and it's not really about exalting Messiah. It's not about us being reliant upon his Spirit working in and through us. It's not about what we're accomplishing because of his power at work in us, but it's about exalting ourselves. Because see, when the power of his resurrection is operating in that function in our lives, it's no longer about what we are accomplishing. And we're not boasting about what we can do, but we're boasting about what he is doing in and through us, because it's his Spirit that is operating and moving inside of us. It's not about our gifting, because look, he gives us giftings, and there's things that we can do with that gifting that can look great and good and awesome. But the question is it really a God thing if we're accomplishing this task according to our fleshly ability and not upon our dependency upon him and his Spirit and his power at work in us? Verse 34, Yeshua said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. See, Peter right here, "I will die with you if I have to," which of course we know Peter would actually go on to deny Yeshua three times, just as Yeshua had said he would. You know, how many of you can relate to Peter in this situation? In times in the past where you have determined in your flesh that you are not going to do a thing, you're not going to commit a sin ever, ever, ever again, but yet you fail in that area once again. And you could look back and say, well, why is it that I continue to struggle and fail in this area? Well, the question we have to ask ourselves, are we trying to defeat this sin? Are we trying to not miss the mark, not do this thing ever again by our own fleshly strength? Or are we being dependent upon His Spirit to help us overcome that shortcoming and that weakness in our flesh? If there is a sin that you seem to struggle with over and over and over again, it's because you have a weakness in your flesh in that area. And you are not going to be able to overcome that weakness in your flesh by your own strength. The only way to overcome that weakness in your flesh is by His resurrection power. It's by His power at work in your life. And as we get into this next example, we're going to see that actually play out. As we look at Peter's next failure in the very next verse, this is Yeshua and His disciples as they go into the garden. So verse 36, then Yeshua came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and He began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then He said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with Me." Now, the first thing we see here in verse 8, the first command that Yeshua tells unto His disciples, or the three of them that are there, is for them to stay here and to watch with Me. So the simple instruction is for them to watch with Him as He prays. Now, what He means by watch with Me, you know, I don't know. I mean, He could mean be a witness, bear witness of what is transpiring here in the garden as I pray. I mean, this is going to be a deep, travailing moment for Yeshua here in the garden as He is preparing to lay down His life, to die for His disciples, for us, for the sins of the world, for whomever would believe in Him. Okay, so are they there to bear witness, or are they to be guard, to be watchful of those who are going to come and take Him captive? You know, so that could possibly be what they're there to do, to guard, to be watchful of those who are going to come and take Him. Now, remember, Peter has said that he was willing to die for Messiah just right before this. And yet, giving the instruction to just simply stay awake and keep watch, would Peter be able to do that? Of course not. We read on to see that he can't even stay awake and keep watch. So the smaller task, or the easier task, you could say, to accomplish, Peter fails at. Now, we know that in order to be faithful, to be a good steward in the greater things, we first have to be faithful and a good steward of the smaller things. We have to be willing and able to be obedient to the, you could say, lesser or more easily attained commands before we're going to be a conqueror over something that is much greater. So think about that. If you want to obtain the bigger victories in life, right, you have to first be able to master the smaller ones first. Verse 39, he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with Me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." So here we see the disciples fell asleep. When Yeshua came back to speak to them, he finds them sleeping. They had failed at the task that he had given them to do. Now, upon their failure, we see that Yeshua actually adds to the instruction. He says, I asked you to watch. Okay, so you fell asleep. So now I'm going to tell you, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. So the temptation was for them to sleep during that time period instead of staying awake. The flesh desired to go to sleep. He says, if you want to overcome the fleshly desire to fall asleep, you're going to need to pray. See, in order for us to overcome temptation, we have to pray. Our prayer life shows our dependence upon Him and our need for His power at work in our life in order for us to overcome temptation. So they needed to pray. He tells them, look, the Spirit is willing. So you have a desire inside of you that is willing to do what I have commanded you to do. Okay. He says, but your flesh is weak. Or you could say you're weak in the fact of being able to overcome your fleshly desire. Okay. Your fleshly desire is actually stronger. Your fleshly desire is stronger than the spiritual desire that is inside of you. And so that's where we, as believers, as we grow and we mature in our walk with Yeshua, it's a daily process of the desire to walk in obedience to His word and that power inside of us, growing that power, realizing that power that we have inside of us, and that knowledge of His resurrection power becoming greater and stronger than this fleshly desire to give into temptations and the desires of our flesh. So we have to become people of prayer in order to overcome the temptations that we face in our lives on a daily basis. Amen. Now, we see here that Peter fails here in the garden. He falls asleep. He would go on to betray Yeshua 3 times, right? And I want to read a passage here where Yeshua actually comes and He restores Peter after his failure and actually speaks and foretells of Peter's future overcoming or victory in an area where he once experienced failure. So Yeshua has not given up on Peter, and He also has not given up on us either. John chapter 21 and verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Yeshua said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because He had said to him the third time, do you love me? And He said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Yeshua said to him, feed my sheep. You know, Yeshua, at this moment in time, doesn't come and remind Peter of his failure. But instead, He seeks to build up Peter. Or you could say, He's building up Peter's faith for what He's going to do. Now, I believe, as we read the story of when Peter, you know, betrayed Yeshua, he does repent and seek forgiveness for that betrayal. And so that had already been done in Peter's life. So Yeshua didn't need to come and remind him of his failure. So yes, the Spirit of God will come and bring conviction to us when we miss the mark. But when we repent of that, when we ask for forgiveness from that, he's not constantly coming and berating us for those things which we have missed the mark, where we have failed. He puts that behind him. And just as he puts it behind him, he wants us to put our failures behind us. Yeshua does this to build up Peter, and also so that Peter will put this failure behind him. He had things for Peter to accomplish. And in order for Peter to accomplish those things, Peter had to move beyond and past his failure. And it's the same with us. We have to move beyond our failures. We have to move past those areas where we have missed the mark, so that the next time that situation comes, we will be ready to walk in his victory, and we can overcome that situation instead of experiencing failure. Because Peter is going to get a second opportunity at this, and the next time Peter is actually going to be successful. He is going to walk in victory in this. So Yeshua comes to build up Peter. So I just want you to be encouraged with that, that our Father in heaven and Yeshua is not sitting here reminding us and pounding us of every time we have missed the mark. And that's the same. We should apply that to other people. We're not supposed to be here reminding people of all their failures and every time that they have missed the mark. But we should be there to build people up, to encourage them. We should be their biggest cheerleaders, not the ones trying to tear them down. Verse 18, most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. So he is speaking of the death that he is going to have, right? Verse 19, this he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. So here we see in this passage, he is now foretelling to Peter that you will ultimately lay down your life for my kingdom, for the sake of my gospel. He goes, you failed and you betrayed me, but in the future, okay, now that I have first died for you upon that tree, and I have rose from the grave, I have resurrected, okay? So now my spirit is going to be poured out on the day of Shavuot, okay? It's going to be poured out inside of you, Peter. And once that spirit is inside of you, you're going to experience my resurrection power. And so the next time this situation occurs, you're not going to walk in the failures of your past, but you're going to walk in my victory, and you're going to lay down your life for me. The thing that you desire to do according to your flesh before, you're going to now be able to do, because my spirit, my resurrection power is living inside of you, and you're going to accomplish it because my power, because Yeshua's power is living inside of Peter. He is going to accomplish it based upon that, not based upon the power of his flesh. Hallelujah. And how is he going to achieve this great thing? How is he going to get there? Yeshua says, follow me. It's simply by following him. How are we going to accomplish the thing that he has assigned for us to do? See, first of all, we're not going to do it by our strength, by our ability, but we're going to accomplish it by relying upon Him. It's by His power being at work inside of us. And that first starts with us praying and being reliant upon Him. Our prayer life shows that we are reliant upon Him, and He will speak to us and show us how we do that, and we follow Him. So we follow Him each and every day, and we do that by developing that personal relationship with Messiah each and every day. Of course, that's going to start with that prayer life. And second of all, it starts by spending time in His Word. It's getting to know His Word. Beginning to know His Word is back to the same concept of knowing the power of His resurrection or knowing Messiah. It's not about knowing knowledge. We don't read His Word in pursuit of having a bunch of knowledge so that we can win the next theological debate we get into. But we read His Word to get to know Him, to know about Him, so our lives can be conformed into His image, according to His Word, and not according to this world, and according to the lust of our flesh. That's how we get to know Him. It's growing in knowledge and understanding of that power of His resurrection in our life each and every day. If we think that we fully understand the power of His resurrection, I think we're fooling ourselves. I think to fully understand and to have a full grasp and knowledge of the power of His resurrection, then we would be at a place in our life where we have full victory and we're conquering our flesh each and every single day. If we're not doing that, then you can say that we have room to know and understand the power of His resurrection more in our life. And also following Him is growing in our obedience each and every day. And it starts with the smallest of the commands. You know, Scripture talks about it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Now, when you think about this concept, so when you think about a person who has a vineyard, you know, a fox is a very small animal. It's sly. That's the way they describe a fox, sly. They call it the sly fox for a reason. They're very mischievous, and they sneak into the vineyard. They sneak into a garden, and because they're small and they're sly, they come in unnoticed. No one sees them. And so they just take a little bit, and no one notices that they're just taking just a little bit. And you could say that little bit, that small bit that's happening that you don't notice at first begins to compound to where it actually becomes larger. And by the time it becomes larger and you notice it, now you have a problem on your hand. Now you have more than one fox that has come into the garden. Now you have a group, a pack of foxes that have now come into the garden, and they have evaded your garden. And now you have a bigger problem on your hand than if you had noticed the moment, the first time that little fox came into your garden and began to ravish your garden. That speaks of sin. See, when we allow just the little bit of compromise in our life, we think, it's just a little thing. It don't matter. It's small. Well, you turn a blind eye to that one. Then the next one comes, and you turn a blind eye to that one as well. Well, all those little things that you are turning a blind eye, all those small compromises that you're turning a blind eye to begin to build up until you have a bigger issue on hand that is ravishing your spiritual life. And now you have a bigger problem on hand than you initially had when you first turned a blind eye to that first compromise. So it starts with growing in obedience, even when it comes to the smallest of compromises in our life. And as we do that, and as we follow Him each and every day, His Spirit and His power is at work inside of us. And we're doing all of this by His power and by His Spirit and not by our strength. And I just want to read by giving a little bit of an encouragement to you here. And I want you to see how Peter was used for Yeshua's kingdom. And so we are going to be in Acts chapter 2, and this is on the day of Shavuot. You know, we are approaching very quickly the time that we're going to start counting the Omer. You know, we are going to be celebrating first fruits this weekend, and after first fruits, we are going to begin the process of counting the Omer. You know, and on the 50th day, we are going to celebrate Shavuot. We're going to celebrate the outpouring of His set-apart Spirit. So even at this moment, I want to encourage you, begin to prepare your life and your hearts for that day, the upcoming feast of Shavuot and the outpouring of His Spirit and what that means. And we're going to see here, here is Peter speaking on the day of Shavuot, right? The outpouring of His Spirit. This was the feast of the gathering of the wheat. It represents and speaks of the fact that He is going to not only gather in from the harvest those that are a part of Israel, or not only those who are Israel, the physical lineage of Israel, but He's also going to go and He's going to gather in all those who have been grafted in to Israel, who are a part of believing Israel, or all those who have put their faith in Yeshua and are walking in His ways. He is going to gather in all of His people from the nations of the world. He has sent us to the nations of the world. He sent Peter, what? To go and feed my sheep, or go and get my people ready for the gathering of my sheep. But before he would do that, he was told to stay in Jerusalem until the day of Shavuot, until the outpouring of His Spirit. So, because before Peter could ever do it, he first had to receive the Spirit, or the power of His Spirit, of Yahweh's Spirit working in his life. And we're going to read a passage here, and we're going to see what happened once Peter was filled with the Spirit of Yahweh. Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Yeshua, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Here's a very interesting thing. He went from denying Yeshua to now boldly standing in front of these people. You know, they're all in there and they're speaking in tongues. And they're like, these people must be drunk. And Peter begins this message, and he is explaining to them what is happening. And he says, this Yeshua whom you crucified. He looks at him and says, you crucified him. Well, he is both Lord and Messiah. Verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So he preaches this message. He says, Yeshua is the Messiah. It says that they are cut to the heart, and they said, what must we do? Peter preaches the first message upon being filled with the set-apart Spirit of Yah. And it says that these people's hearts were cut. And in verse 38, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Yeshua Messiah for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. In verse 41, then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. So here we see, upon Peter being filled with the Spirit of Yahweh, he goes out and boldly preaches the message of Yeshua. And upon that, 3,000 people's hearts were cut, and they repented of their sins, and they were added to the disciples on that day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Abba Father desires to use you in the same manner that he used Peter. And it starts with us learning the lesson from Peter. And that is, number one, that our Father, our Abba in heaven, he's not counting our wrongs against us, but he has given us his Son to die upon that tree for us so that we are forgiven of our sins, so he doesn't count it against us anymore. But then he resurrected from that grave so that through his resurrection, the power of his resurrection can be at work in our lives. So our Father in heaven has put his Spirit inside of us. He has put that resurrection power inside of us that we can walk as a new creation. Peter was a new creation on this day on Shavuot. And we can be just as Peter was, a new creation. And we can be filled with the same boldness that Peter was filled with. The same person that lacked boldness before and denied his master now was filled with boldness and preached the message of Yeshua, and 3,000 souls were added to them that day. Hallelujah. That same resurrection power is alive and at work inside of each and every single one of us. Hallelujah. Well, amen. Well, I'm glad that you have joined us this week and for this teaching. We hope that you come back. We hope to see you next week. And again, I want to say, Shalom, y'all.